podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
James chapter 4, starting with verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The verses I want to draw your attention to are found there in James chapter 4 and verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, you may have received some pretty awesome invitations in your life, I imagine, right? Some of you have received this invitation. Will you marry me? You remember that one, right? Some of you say, yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one like it was yesterday. Will you marry me? Some of you remember that you received in the mail these words, your application to the university has been accepted. You remember that invitation? How about this? Would you like the job? We'd love for you to have the job. Would you like the job? That's a great invitation. Can I get you a refill? You know, we hear that more often than perhaps the others, but can I get you a refill? Would you like cheese on that? Duh, of course, right? I question those who say no to a question like that. Have you heard this one recently? Come and vote for me on November 4th. Oh my goodness, right? And then there is, tune in next week for the exciting conclusion. Yeah, you remember hearing that? It seems like there's never really a conclusion, though. You have had some great invitations. Maybe think in your mind of what the most astounding invitations that you have received in your life. Now, you get the point. We receive invitations all day long for all sorts of stuff, right? Some of them are scams, and we know right away that if we get a phone call from someone we've never heard of before and they start asking us personal questions about our credit and our accounts, we know to say, I'm not interested. I'm not interested, and sometimes we won't even answer the phone. But we also receive other invitations that are significant ones during the course of our lives that we jump all over. But here in this passage of Scripture is the greatest offer that could ever be extended to anyone. So forget all of the other invitations for just a minute. This is the greatest invitation, the greatest offer that has ever been made to anyone. In the English Standard Version, we read, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The NIV, as we read, says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. The Message Version simply says, say a quiet yes to God, and he'll be there in no time. That we have a God who has invited us into his presence. A God who wants us to be close to him. And he says, come to me. Draw near to me. And that is the greatest offer, the great offer that God makes to us. This great offer has been made throughout Scripture in numerous places. For example, Adam and Eve, we're told, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So many people have read this particular passage of Scripture and said, if God was walking in the garden, that this must have been a regular occurrence for Adam and Eve. It's just that on this particular day, they had sinned against God, and when they heard him, they hid. But typically, I imagine, when they heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, it was an invitation for them to come and join him and to walk with God. Imagine that. Each day, you hear God walking in the garden, and your heart jumps within you and say, I'm going to go walk with God. Now it's not just, it's not an exercise walk, okay? So don't ruin it. It's not that type of a walk. We're not on a treadmill. This is the type of walk where you walk side by side with someone and you talk. You know, and you share the most intimate details of your life. You talk about the issues of life, and you just share with one another. And there is this intimacy that takes place in that moment as you walk together, where you don't even realize you're walking. You're just kind of gliding. You ever had that kind of a time before? Maybe with your significant other walking along the beach, you know, and you're just talking and talking and talking and enjoying each other's presence. This is what God wanted from Adam and Eve at the very beginning. We read in Genesis chapter 5 about a man named Enoch. After he became the father of Methuselah, who we all know was the oldest man to ever live in Scripture, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Think about that for a moment. Altogether, 300 years old, more sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. Doesn't say he died. They had a funeral for him. They dug a hole. They put him in the hole. It says he just was gone. God took him away. That God appreciated Enoch's presence, and that Enoch appreciated God's presence in such a way that Enoch walked faithfully with God all of his life. That his life could be characterized as a walk of faithfulness with God. And so when it came time for Enoch to come home to be with the Lord, God said, you just come here with me. You've been here all along. What's the difference? Come here with me. We read about Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Of all the people of his time, right, God chose Noah to do a significant saving work through, because this was the man that was walking with God. We read about Abraham in Genesis chapter 24. He replied, "The Lord before whom I have walked faithfully will send his angel with you and make your journey a success," as he's speaking to his son about finding a wife. He says, "The Lord with whom I have walked faithfully." Look, I know that God is going to bless you as you go, because I have a day-by-day walk with the living God, and I can entrust you to him that things are going to go well, because I have a faithful walk with God, and I know the mind and the heart of my God, and I trust him. That was Abraham. Now, Samuel once spoke to Saul regarding the fact that he was going to lose his crown and it was going to be given to another, a man named David. And Samuel said to Saul, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of the people, because you have not kept the Lord's command." And this description of David is found numerous times throughout Scripture. He was a man after God's own heart. That he lived within the heart zone of God. That he knew God, he knew God's will, he knew God's ways. Now, David wasn't perfect, but David had this wonderful walk with God that was deep. It was emotionally deep. He was faithful to God. A man after God's own heart. And look what Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends," Jesus said to his disciples. "For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus regards his followers as his friends. This means we get to share in on the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This means that we get to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That he doesn't use us as servants, but he welcomes us and walks with us as friends. So what does James tell us here in chapter 4? He says, "The Almighty God, the holy and pure God, the God who created all things that surround us, that God, the God of all the universe, the one true God, that God, he wants you to draw near to him." It's that simple. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. That's the invitation of our God. God wants you to walk with him. He requests your presence with him. This is incredible. Isn't that the greatest offer you have ever received? Now, I have a serious question for you, though. Are you actively taking him up on that offer? You know, if you've got a God who says, I am everywhere, I am everything, I am all-powerful God, and I want you to enter my presence and to walk with me. I want a relationship with you. I want you to know me and I want to know you. And I want us to be intimately together in this relationship for your whole life. I want you to walk with me. I want your presence, God says. In fact, I created you because I want you to worship me and love me and follow me and live your life for me. This is what I want. Will you draw near to me? We have a God who gives us this great offer. And the question is, are you drawing near to God? Are you actively taking him up on his offer day by day? Now, you might answer the question and say, well, yeah, there was this one time where I walked down an aisle at church, or I was in camp and I bowed my head and I raised my hand. There was one time where someone shared the gospel with me and I said, yeah, I do believe in Jesus. So yeah, I have drawn near to God. But it goes beyond that, you see, because it's not just a one-time decision that we make. That is the decision that we make to put our faith in Jesus that saves us. However, there is a daily, moment by moment decision that we must make to draw near into the presence of God where he has invited us. Can you honestly say that you are doing all that you can to draw near to the Lord and to take him up on his great offer? If not, perhaps it is because of the great obstacle. What is the obstacle that stands between us and drawing near to God? I've heard someone say the word sin. It's sin. It's sin. But yeah, it is sin. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, where John says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world." And when he's talking about the world, the word in the Greek is cosmos. He's not talking about the planets and the constellations and the stars and the mountains. He's not talking about when you walk out on a fresh, crisp fall day and you say, "I love this weather." He's not talking about that. What he's talking about is the world system, which is an evil, sinful system that attempts to drag us away from God. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And John says, everything in this world, whether it is the lust of the flesh, the things that you desire that drag you away from God, whether it is the lust of the eyes, the things that you see that suddenly cause you to say, you know what, I don't think I'll walk with God today. You know, I don't think I need to draw near to God. There's some other things I would like to draw near because my flesh desires it and because my eyes see it. And so I'm not going to draw near to God today. And then the pride of life, which says, I can do this on my own. I don't need to draw near to God. I can make a life on my own and do it my way and not his way and have complete freedom over my life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we say to him, Lord, I know you're calling me into a relationship with you, but not now. Not now, Lord. This world that you created is, there are things in it that are just so wonderful that I have no time for you. So let me enjoy your creation. Let me enjoy the twistedness of this world as it has walked away from you. And we don't draw near because of this great obstacle, our sin. So what do we do about this obstacle that stands in our life? What do we do about the hurdle that stands between us and drawing near to God? Scripture's pretty clear on this one. We can draw near to God because he has cleared the way for us. We can draw near to God because he has cleared the way for us. He has done everything we need to draw near to him. Look what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 3. His divine power, hey, the power of God himself, his divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. This is the God who has called us to draw near, has given us everything we need. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So getting away from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the corruption in the world caused by the evil desires, we have been called by this great God through his precious promises to participate in his divine nature. He says, draw near to me, walk with me, be mine, worship me and not these things. And he says, I'll go a step further. I will give you by my divine power everything you need in order to do that. And so God not only calls us to himself, he equips us to come to himself. And the first word in the original Greek, as Peter wrote this verse, is the word everything. So we're going to read this in the Greek language. It would say, everything we need, everything we need, his divine power has given to us. Everything we need. That's where the emphasis is. So what is everything? What is everything we need for a godly life? He's given us his word. He's revealed himself to us in language that we can understand. He's given us his word. He's given us his promises in those words. He's told us who he is and what he's going to do. He's given us great examples of faith throughout the Word and throughout our lives. Others who have drawn near to God and how they did it and what it looked like. He's given us his Son, Jesus Christ, to strip away our sins and then to outfit us with his righteousness. He's given us the eternal life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's given us these things. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live within us, to inspire us, to speak to us, to lead us. He's given us his love, enduring love that he will never take away. He has surrounded us with his beauty, physical beauty all around us to draw us to himself. Not that we will get distracted by it and walk away from him, but that we will be enlightened by it, inspired by it, and that we will turn toward him. He allows us sometimes to experience trouble and trials and temptations in our life so that we may be drawn away from the things of this world and drawn instead to him. He has his ways of getting our attention. He has given us everything we need for a godly life. He has given us the church, his body, the fellowship of the brothers and sisters in Christ to surround us and to help us to draw near. He's even given you your faith as a gift to trust in him. The scripture says, for by grace you are saved by faith. But then the passage says, but even that faith isn't your own. That faith is a gift from God that he has given to you so that you might not boast. Nobody draws near to God and says, look at what I've accomplished. I'm near to God. Look at what I've become. I'm near God. I'm walking with God. I have a relationship with God. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Nobody says that. And if they are saying that, they're way off. They are way off. We don't make it on our own. He has done everything we need in order to approach him. If there is anything you need to draw near to him, it is available to you by the power of God. It is there. You have no excuses not to draw near to God. It is there. He has done everything and continues to do everything within his unbelievable power for you to draw near to him. And so we can call the Lord the great outfitter. We have his great offer. We recognize that there's this great obstacle that keeps us from drawing near to him. But then the obstacle is overcome because he is the great outfitter. Now, what is an outfitter? Well, an outfitter is someone who supplies you with everything you need for the journey, right? If you're going on a trek through the jungles of Africa, they set you up with safari gear. They might even sit you in a jeep. They got everything you need in order to accomplish that trip. If you're going to Alaska to go fishing, you don't have to bring everything with you. When you get there, they're going to provide a helicopter to drop you off. There's going to be some sort of a boat, and sometimes an inflatable boat. There's going to be packs with food. There's going to be fishing equipment, everything that you need. There's going to be a map to show you the way. You're going to have a rifle with you to shoot the bear when you see him. Everything you need for the journey along this fishing trip is provided to you by the outfitter. God outfits us to come near to him. He is the outfitter for that journey. He has supplied you with all that you need in order to make the journey to draw near to him. It's as if your rich uncle said he wants you to visit him at his summer home on the French Riviera. Right? Your rich uncle who's got a summer home on the French Riviera, we all have one of those, right? And he calls you and he says, look, I want you to come and spend a few weeks with me. And then you tell him, look, I can't do that. I've got a job. You know, I've got responsibilities. I'm strapped for cash. I'm not going to be able to do that. And he says, well, don't worry about that. I got it. All right, I'm going to send you a car. The limo driver is going to pick you up at your door and take you to the airport where he will give you the ticket to the airplane. You will get on the airplane. You will fly in first class. You just board the plane. I'm going to have everything for you. And then when you get off the plane, there will be another driver standing there, and he'll have a sign with your name on it. You just walk up to him, and he'll take you to the car, and he'll drive you to my place right here in the French Riviera. I will take care of everything. You just need to come. You just board the plane. All of your meals, everything when you get here will be taken care of. No, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to give you a place to sleep, and I'm going to give you fresh towels, the whole thing, right? Everything you need. You don't have to worry about it. It's taken care of. And then you say, but I have nothing to wear. I mean, this is the French Riviera in the summertime, and all I got are these old clothes, and I'm just not going to fit in. I can't make it. And he says, don't worry about that. You know, what size are you? Give me your size. Give me the size of your shirts and your pants and your shoes, everything. Just give me the size. That's all I need. And I'll have a set of clothes and shoes sent to you to travel in. And then when you get here, I will have a closet full of clothes for you to wear. Everything's taken care of. Don't worry about it. It's all done. And you say, I don't know if I can get the time off. I don't know if my boss is going to let me go. And your uncle says, I've already cleared this with your boss. I talked to him already. It's all good. He said, you can have the time off. And in fact, if you lose any wages or pay from this thing, I will double it and give that to you. I just want you to come. I have done everything possible to make it available for you to take this trip. Now, will you come? If you still don't come, then something's obviously wrong. Not with your uncle. Okay. Not with your uncle, but with you. Maybe you don't like your uncle. Maybe the idea of who your uncle is just turns you off for some reason. Some people don't like God. They don't want to draw near to God because they don't really like him. I think they don't like him because they don't know him. They don't know him. You see, if God has thought of everything, all you need to do is say yes. It's your move. He's done everything he can do. All you need to do is say yes. I want you to listen to a song. It's performed by the worship team at Northland Church in Longwood, Florida. It's actually Pete Geiger, one of their worship leaders. The name of the song is You Did That For Me.
Exhausted and poor, and do I don't have to cry. cry anymore. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to be so proud and stand so tall. I climbed that mountain only to fall. And do I don't have to know it all. You did that for me.
Here's why I love that song. Say basically the same thing we're talking about here. That God says, come near to me, draw near to me. I want to walk with you. I want relationship with you. I want day by day for you to be faithful and for us to know each other and for us to have this deep understanding with one another. I want you to walk with me and to draw near to me. And we say, but God, I've sinned. But God, I'm ashamed of what I've done, but God, I'm carrying this guilt, I'm carrying this burden, but God, I'm not good enough. And God says, I did all of that for you. I took your shame, I took your guilt, I carried your burden. I've done that for you. It's been taken care of. And so he makes us this great offer to draw near to him. We recognize that there are obstacles keeping us from him, but he steps in as the great outfitter and says, I have supplied you with everything you need. Now, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? The next move is yours. The next move is yours. It's your great opportunity. What more do you need? See, the offer's been made. The obstacles have been set aside. The great outfitter has taken your filthy rags of sin, guilt, and shame, and he's replaced them with his beautiful garments of righteousness. What else do you need to draw near to God? Do you need a formal invitation? Are you the type of person that needs to see it written out on a scroll in fancy script? Well, check this out. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2 says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And then Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, come to me. Matthew chapter 19, then people brought the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The little boys and girls that are excited to come and sit in Jesus' lap. The little boys and girls that just run to Jesus and want to be near this man. That is the type of people that the kingdom of God is made up of. Those who draw near. Luke chapter 11. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. It doesn't say might be open. It says it will be open. You draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, is the promise. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. And then James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now you may be asking the question, how? How do I go about drawing near to God? Well, that's why this is a series. We're going to get to that. It takes more than one Sunday to talk about these things. We'll get to that, but the first step is always the hardest. The first step is what we're talking about today. Let's just glory in the fact that we're invited. Let's just receive that word today, that God has invited us to walk with him, that God has given us an open invitation to draw near to him, that he wants a relationship with us. Let's just glory and worship him because of that invitation. Let it rest there. God loves you deeply. He created you to have a relationship with you. He wants to walk with you. He's done everything he can within his power to draw you near to him. He has cordially invited you into his presence. It's all there in Scripture in black and white. The God of the universe wants you to draw near to him. Just let that rest in your heart today and throughout this week. And will you take the first step? Will you take the first step toward drawing near? Back to the Message version where Eugene Peterson translated the verse, say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Will you close your eyes and bow your head now as we draw to a close? Would you like to draw near to God? Are you ready to take him up on this offer? There's no fine print. There are no hidden obligations. He just wants to walk with you. He wants your presence. And he's taken care of all the arrangements. Jesus took your place on the cross. He washed away your sin. All you need to do right now is just to say yes. And when you say yes, you are saying, I want to draw near to God. Now that may mean in the future that you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That may be your first step. It may mean that you need to turn away from some of the things that you've been doing, the sins that you've been secretly enjoying. It may mean that you need to commit yourself more fully and more deeply to following Jesus, but we're going to get there later. First step, all you need is a simple yes. Maybe you've been wandering from God and you feel far from God this morning. And you came in here and as we sang our songs together, your heart wasn't in it. As the words came out of your mouth, you felt like, you know, my mind's singing them, but my heart's not engaged. If you feel far from God this morning, don't worry about imposing on him. He's the one who's calling you close. draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So is it your desire to draw nearer to God, starting with this moment? On the count of three, just say yes.
Yes.
One, two, three.
Yes.
I know some of you couldn't wait. Try it again. One, two, three.
Yes.
Yes. I pray that as we continue to talk about what it means to draw near to God, that you will draw close and that your yes will be yes. Father, thank you for who you are this morning, for the work that you're doing in our lives. And Lord, we desperately want to take you up on your offer to draw near. So this morning, look at these people, the ones who love you, who have received your offer and are willing to say yes. Father, I pray that as we draw near to you, that we will experience that closeness and that intimacy that we were designed for. And Father, that your joy will be made complete. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.